I usually intro our next guest on Tuesday and call it the local connection, but he's in Phoenix or Glendale. I'm in Peoria. It's a Monday. It's very confusing. He's the columnist for the Register Guard. Check out his work on the front page of the sports section. Catch up online, registerguard.com, on Twitter, at AustinMeekRG. Austin, two things. Hello. Where are you?
I'm still at the hotel right now. I'm going to catch the shuttle over to the game pretty much as soon as we get done. I'm still here. I'm going to write a column off the championship game. Not quite as much pressure for me tonight as if the Ducks had won, so I'm going to kind of take it easy and enjoy my last basketball game of the season.
Yeah, no, I knew you were here in Arizona. I was like, are you at the stadium already? Which I guess would have seemed kind of crazy considering you're not really covering either team. Before we get to hoops in the Final Four and what might become a trio of Ducks who are thinking NBA, you and Steve Mims took advantage of a great Sunday. You're in a major market, Chase Field, Mad Bum, and Greinke. And then we saw more of 2016 for the Giants. But, man, that looked like an absolute picture-perfect day to take in a ball game. How amazing was that scene?
It was beautiful. I haven't been to opening day in a long time. And I got to say, being in a ballpark with some sunshine, it's going to get me through these cloudy, rainy days that I know are waiting for me when I get back to Eugene. But kind of a nice little off day for us. Steve and I picked up some cheap tickets right before the first pitch and got in there and saw Madison Bumgarner hit a couple home runs and saw the Diamondbacks with the walk-off, so not a bad way to spend an off day in Phoenix.
Yeah, I was thinking, I'm assuming the Register Guard doesn't have a big connection with Arizona Diamondback people, and I know you didn't get press passes, and I saw it was kind of, they listed it as a sellout, so was that one of those late kind of StubHub deals? How did you score tickets so soon, and how were the seats?
Yeah, Steve, well, this is a little-known fact about me, but I'm kind of a pro when it comes to navigating the secondary market. I've had a lot of practice. I don't do the stock market, but I'm pretty good at being able to judge when the tickets are dropping. So we got some cheap ones on StubHub right before the first pitch. Our seats, if you saw the picture of the very top seat at University of Phoenix Stadium looking down on the court, that was more or less the view that we had of the field. We were in not the top row, but the second to the top row at the very top of Chase Field. But it's kind of a neat park because you can just walk around, and that's what we ended up doing. We walked down to sort of the main concourse, and there are lots of areas where you can just stop and watch. So we ended up having a pretty good view of the end of the game kind of right behind home plate.
Nah, that was awesome. I was a little bit jealous, but I was staying with my cousins, and it would have been very rude to be like, yeah, I'm going to the ball game. Thanks for the 5 days of hospitality.
You could have pulled it off.
I could have pulled it off, but then I never would have been invited back again, and holidays would have just got very, very awkward. Let's get to the Saturday game. Gut-wrenching. The Tar Heels missed the four straight free throws, but like we knew, they're assassins on the offensive glass. Oregon doesn't even get a final possession. Is there anything more unfair than Jordan Bell, who just played with the heart of a lion, feeling like he was to blame in a game where they missed 19 three-pointers, committed 16 turnovers? I mean, you understand where his heart is, but is there anything more unjust than that young man feeling like that?
Yeah, I have to say that's one of the most gut-wrenching scenes that I've witnessed in 10 years or so of covering college sports, with Jordan Bell at his locker after that game, tears in his eyes. You could hardly hear him because he was speaking so quietly, and clearly just putting the entire blame on himself for that loss, which obviously it was not all Jordan Bell's fault. I think anybody who looks at it objectively would say that. Did Jordan Bell make a mistake in a big situation? Yeah, I think it's fair to say that he did. But there were so many other factors in that game, and like you said, Oregon would not have been close to the Final Four if not for what Jordan Bell did throughout that entire tournament. I think he was probably the biggest factor in Oregon getting to the Final Four, the way he really took everything on himself after Chris Boucher went down, and you know, every big rebound, every big block, right up until that moment, Jordan Bell came through. How many times in this tournament did Jordan Bell grab a big offensive rebound that kept Oregon alive? I mean, there are two games that Oregon probably would not have won in this tournament if not for Jordan Bell getting an offensive rebound. So totally unfair for him to put the whole blame on himself, but it's kind of human nature. I know he felt bad about it. It was hard to watch and hard to see him so despondent after that game with how well he played through that whole tournament.
You know what's kind of lost here? Okay, say he gets the rebound. I mean, what are the odds they're going to score in 5 seconds? I mean, that's still pretty difficult. I know we're still kind of piecemealing this together, and this has been a year where everything had kind of fallen their way, but it's a lot different if you don't get a rebound with 20 seconds to go when you could run your regular offense. But, you know, still 5 seconds to go. We're not talking miracles, but still the odds would have been pretty long.
Yeah, well, especially on the second one, because there's only 4 seconds left. And, you know, part of it is even when Oregon was getting defensive rebounds, they usually weren't clean. You know, it was like a deflection and then somebody pulls it out of the air. And so that takes time. And you're right. It would have been pretty long odds with 4 seconds left for Oregon to be able to get that rebound and go down and score. I think the hard part is psychologically, if you get the last shot and you miss it, then you're kind of at peace with it almost. You know, you say, well, we had our shot. It didn't go in. That's how the game goes. And you live with it. But the fact that they didn't get the last shot when they had the opportunity twice to get the rebound, I think is the part that's going to probably eat at them for a long time. You know, Jordan Bell said he was 100% sure that if he'd gotten that rebound, they would have scored. Now, I'm not nearly that certain, but it's always going to be in the back of their minds that what if we just gotten that rebound and just gotten that shot, would it have gone in?
Nah, that's an excellent point. We're talking with Austin Meek of the Register Guard, live on the scene of the Final Four. Your follow-up piece, really interesting point with Carolina, who, you know, sometimes you wonder if they'd throw the Final Four without them. Of course, they were right here a year ago. Oregon obviously never been under this format. You feel that the Final Four is kind of a much different animal than simply playing in an intense NCAA tournament game. Well, what did you mean by that, and how noticeable was it for both sides Saturday?
Well, it's a completely different atmosphere. I mean, I put in the column, compared to the rest of the college basketball season, it feels like you're playing on the moon, you know, and you were there and probably had the same experience of just when you walk in that stadium, how massive it is, you know, the sound in there, it just sounds completely different from any other college basketball game you ever play. And with the elevated court, and then you got, you know, Jim Nance's voice coming through the speakers in the middle of the game, I'm sure that had to be a little unsettling. Just everything about the Final Four is so foreign compared to any other college basketball setting. And I do think it was an advantage for Carolina that they did play in a Final Four last year. A lot of those guys on the court for Carolina had that experience. Oregon's guys had not. And, you know, shoot around, whatever, it's not the same until you get on that court with all the fans in there. And I do think that was a factor that probably threw Oregon out of the rhythm that they'd had throughout this tournament up to that point.
Let's get to what Steve Mims wrote about today, the merry trio, kind of, I guess, yay or nay for next year, Brooks, Bell, Dorsey. My thought is Brooks was a maybe last year, now as an All-American, the Pac-12 Player of the Year, magical moments. He's a national name. And while forever I'll be less insistent since Royce Freeman decided to come back, I don't know that Brooks can really improve his draft stock much by coming back and thinks it's time for him to get paid and find out. Well, what's your read?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny because the one guy going into this tournament that I thought was most likely to go was Dylan Brooks. But the guy, honestly, who probably has the most questions now about his game because of this tournament is also Dylan Brooks. I mean, I think Jordan Bell helped his stock tremendously by how he played in this tournament. I think Tyler Dorsey helped his stock tremendously by how he played in this tournament. Dylan Brooks didn't have a great tournament. And especially in that game against Carolina, you know, with the length that Carolina had and the athleticism, they really took Dylan Brooks out of his game. And I think there are some NBA people who will watch that and say, hey, these guys on the floor for Carolina, they look a lot like the guys that Dylan Brooks is going to go up against in the NBA. And I think there are going to be some questions. Now, the entire body of work for Dylan Brooks is still very strong. He still had the best season of anybody on Oregon's team, Pac-12 Player of the Year, All-American. He's got a great college resume. And ultimately, I think I come down where you do on this, which is that he's not going to help his stock by staying in school another year. That if by some chance he comes back, it wouldn't be for that reason. I think the only reason he would come back is he feels like we were pretty close to a national championship this year, and if guys come back, we could be the favorite. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Oregon was the number one team in the country preseason if everybody came back, but I don't think that's very likely. I think ultimately those guys came back to get to a Final Four, and they did it. And I think for all of them, you know, there's a case to be made either way, but my philosophy tends to be, hey, if you can go make money play in the game and you've had a good college career, go for it, because you're not getting paid at the college level, and at some point it's time to get a paycheck.
For the record, underclassmen have to declare by the 23rd, then there's the combine, and they really don't have to make a final decision for like 7 weeks. As far as Bell, I mean, I don't think he even had a shot last year, but where he is now, his game as a junior from freshman, I mean, he's added an entire post game. We know you mentioned the reputation he's earned on a national level. You have a read on what he should or might do? He's the one I'm kind of torn on the most.
Yeah, I mean, physically, Jordan Bell is the guy on Oregon's team who you say he looks like an NBA player. I mean, he's, you know, the athleticism that he has, the size, he's an NBA caliber player in terms of his athleticism. I think the question for him is, could he help himself by taking another year to develop his offensive game? You know, if Dylan Brooks does go pro, then there would be a case that, hey, Jordan, you come back, you're our number one option offensively, and you could have a huge year, you could be the Pac-12 Player of the Year, and you could show NBA teams that you are the complete package. They know you can defend, they know you can rebound. Show them that you're an offensive player too, and I could see Jordan Bell being a first-round pick, maybe even pushing up towards the top half of the first round if he has a big year next year. But it's always a question of, you know, do you want to take that risk? Right now, I think there's some kind of unknown with Jordan Bell that could be appealing to NBA teams, where they look at him and say, hey, we could develop this guy. We see the raw potential with him. We want to go ahead and develop him and, you know, get him in our system, and we think he could do big things. So I think that's the decision he's going to have to make is, do you go now when you're still a little bit raw and there's still some unknowns and some potential, or do you come back for another year and, you know, take that risk of, you know, do you get better or not? Because that's always a risk for guys who come back.
Let's couple more final thoughts for Austin Meek, the Register guard. Dorsey, of course, you know, he got to 20 again, but he needed to go 12-12 from the line. So he got 20-plus, in all postseason games. Now, with us as a 6'4 guard, he's got, I guess, NBA size. He improved his three-point shooting. But he, I'll tell you what, as great as he finished, man, he was streaky this year. Now, he's the one I think he has to come back and show that the last 3 weeks were more of his game than a hot streak. Well, what's your read on Dorsey?
Well, for him, I think a big part of it is what's his ultimate objective. If he wants to play in the NBA and have a long career in the NBA, I think coming back could be the right decision for him. You know, I don't see him right now as great as he was for Oregon in this tournament. I don't see him right now being, you know, a first-round pick and a guy that, you know, right now is going to probably make an NBA roster. I see him as a guy who, if he wanted to, could go overseas and make a lot of money and have a great career. And some guys, that's the path. You know, some guys when they've been in school for a couple of years, they feel like, okay, it's time. And even if I'm not in the NBA, I would like to start my professional career. So if Tyler Dorsey is in that boat, then I think he could have a great career overseas. If he's really, really determined to make it in the NBA, it could be the best move for him to come back, because I think if you look at his whole season and not just his tournament, it probably points to the fact that he's not quite NBA ready yet.
Let's wrap with this. You know, now that we're here for North Carolina and Gonzaga, on this show, it's very strange. The Zags have no neutral fans. People love them or they want them to get crushed. You wrote your six plus reasons to root for Gonzaga, be it the looming academic scandal in Chapel Hill to, I guess we can call it with you, personal bracket vanity. So who are you liking and why?
Well, coming on here and talking about my bracket is probably like coming on here and talking about my fantasy football team, so I'll spare everybody that. Although I will say a Gonzaga victory would be personally beneficial for me tonight, but that's all I'll say on that subject. I do think it's interesting. You know, I wrote that a little bit tongue-in-cheek to see what the reaction would be, and I got the same reaction you got. There's some people in Oregon who are like, hey, you know, we're going to root for our fellow Northwest team. They're a small school. They're a great story. They don't compete directly against Oregon, so we're going to pull for them. And there's other people who say, hey, they're from Washington. They won't play us. We don't want anything to do with them. And it would almost like be salt in the wound for another Northwest team to win it this year when Oregon got so close. So for me, I think it'd be great for basketball in the Northwest. I think Gonzaga is a great story. You know, they're definitely not still the little engine that could. I mean, they've proved themselves to be one of the top-tier programs in the country, on the same scale with the Carolinas and the Dukes of the world. But, you know, now that they're here, they've got this opportunity. A lot of people, you know, no matter what kind of regular season you have, a lot of people looking at Gonzaga and, you know, even their path here, saying they haven't played anybody better than a four seed, so there's still that skepticism out there about them. But I think it'd be a great story if they win. I'm kind of pulling for them, and not only because I've got a little bit of personal bragging rights at stake.
And Jordan, I'm so obsessed with Jordan Bell. Austin, I appreciate your flexibility, and thanks for joining us. Great insight, and look forward to seeing you in the football stadium for basketball again in a little bit.
All right, enjoy the game tonight, and I'll see you back in Eugene.
All right, have a good one, Austin.